journey that is going to lead to eternity would research the manual. But what happens is they take the word of whoever the shiny person is in the pulpit or wherever they go, and they use for their evaluation all the good things and good deeds that people are involved in. A lot of them are. But every person's soul is going to be counted for by them.
Yes.
So that's why I know you guys get tired of hearing it. Fact check the preacher, fact check the church, fact check me. I'll get talking so fast, I'll get names confused. One night I was teaching over at Lauren Travis's, and I was talking about, I can't remember if I was talking about Dalton Phillip. I can't remember what I did. I got called somebody Philip all night long, and it's over with, you know. And I finally come back down to earth a little bit, and Stacy goes,
"Wasn't that Thomas?"
And I was like, "Yeah, of course it was. What do you mean? You called him Philip?" I was like, "Oh." So that's good. I like it. I do. And that's going to go along with what we're going to talk about tonight, actually. I feel something on me, though. I've been wounded, I've been battered. Well, I've seen God's people hurt and scattered. I've been done wrong, I've been lied on. I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race. I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race. I've come too far now, turn back anyhow. I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race. I've walked through valleys, stood on mountains, drank living water from the fountain. I've had hard times that ain't changed my mind. I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race. I'm finishing the race, I've come too far now, turn back anyhow. I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race. Well, when the devil, when he comes against you, and he tries to tell you that you're through, well, you just stand up, put a finger in his face, and say, "Devil, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race, I'm finishing the race. I've come too far now, turn back anyhow. I'm finishing the race, finishing the race."
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. I bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name, Father. You're worthy.
Lord.
Whew. I don't run as fast as I did when I started this race, but I'm still running.
Amen, that's right.
Got a lot more dings and knocks than I did when I started it, but I'm still running.
That's right.
And the cool thing is, each one of us has our own. Someone else might look at the way you're running your race and not be happy with it.
Right.
It's all right. So let them be unhappy. Yeah. Some folks ain't happy unless they, you ready for this?
Miserable.
Ain't happy.
Yeah.
They got to look at somebody else's walk with God and be a spiritual Siskel and Ebert and give them two thumbs up or two thumbs down. That's a miserable person. Don't let him faze you. You and God know whether or not you're on pace for your race.
Yeah.
Nobody else has no thing, and it ain't nobody else's business. Hey there, Peter. How are you?
Sorry to be late.
That's okay. Oh, yeah, that one might be a little too tall for me anyway. You all right, brother?
I'm good.
Okay, I know you've been moving and everything.
Just a little miscommunication here, but...
Well, that's okay. I know you told me that system and everything. Did you get moved in your new house?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're twice as wealthy as you thought you were then.
Twice as burned down with the things of this world. Got that right.
We'll hear that one next Wednesday. I see. It would have been the American thing to do to say,
oh. Amen. Yeah, sure would. Yeah.
But just because it's American don't mean it's Christian.
Right.
And just because we have a right to do something,
right?
And just because other people wouldn't blame us, we don't care whether other people would blame us, right? We need to love people. You can love people that do everything perfect, be a little suspicious about them, but you know, you gotta love people who mess things up, man. You don't know what's going on in that brother's life.
That's right.
You don't know if he's got kids. We don't know. It'd be an awful small thing. God. There's something in the man's heart that's right to show up late and try to do stuff anyway, knowing he's probably going to get balled out by people, and he showed up anyhow.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that wouldn't have the character to do that. They just stayed home and said, I ain't going in there and facing all that. So, who knows? Well, Brother Peter may be sitting in here one day, huh?
That's right. Yeah,
that'd be all right.
That'd be great.
He won't have no reason not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We won't give him that.
Just because we can do it, don't mean we are saved.
That's right. So stop listening to that stuff. First reading tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Sorry, Stacy, I'm going to get him jiggling that bench.
It's all
there.
Right.
First one's going to be in 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4 and verse number 20. I've had this thing on me. Oh my goodness. I've been teaching. Yesterday, I don't know if they did. I thought they might have to have two services just so I could get my preaching out. But I'm going to preach tonight.
Blessing.
You've taught so much. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. I love that.
But
in power.
That's right.
Amen.
That don't mean the word don't count. Don't have a heart attack on me. Paul's talking, and read the chapter someday. Not tonight, please, but some other time. Paul is talking to the church because some preachers came in behind Paul. After he did all the hard work and got the church off the ground, scratched it out of nothing, got people lives changed, and then put people in place to keep it going, and he went out and worked somewhere else. And then when he left, some other preachers came in and had some things to say about Paul, and had some things to say about the way that they did some things. So Paul's addressing that in chapter 4, and he's telling them, hey, anybody can say anything they want. Yep. But I'll be there in a little while, and when I get there, we'll see what's what then. And he said, because the kingdom of God ain't in word. In other words, anybody can run their mouth about the church and about God. Anybody can say God does, God should, and God will. But does he? If all you ever do is yap about how he does and he never does, something ain't right. No, somebody, something ain't right. He's God.
Amen.
So Paul said, when I get there, we'll see what's what. Because the kingdom of God ain't just yap, 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 yap. But it's in power. And that word power right there is one of my favorite words, dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to give you just a couple other layers to that word tonight because it fits this text really good.
Okay.
But the most popular one is dunamis means miracle power.
Yep.
So Paul's saying the church ain't just all teaching from a book that's dead in ancient history and nothing ever happens. And when you get done, you say, yes, that's good virtues and principles and we should live by that and we'll do the best we can. And then God never does anything. That's not what the church is. The church, the kingdom of God, is in miracle power.
Amen.
And I look at every single one of you, and you know, we think miracles have to be Lazarus coming out of the graves. That ain't the only miracles there are. But I look at every single one of you, and there's been miracles in your lives recently.
Yes.
Yes. Big time.
That's right. Amen.
Now, another layer to that word, though, for power, not just miracle power, but the kingdom of God is dunamis also gives an undertone of strength and abundance. So the kingdom of God isn't just in yap, 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 yap. There should be some strength there. Mm-hmm. The church should be strong. And there should be an abundance. Okay, not abundance like we think is carnal people, but an abundance of what? Character? An abundance of what? Love?
Yeah.
An abundance of empathy?
Yeah.
An abundance of compassion? Do you know about at least half probably the miracles you read about Jesus doing before he does it? It says he looked on them with compassion.
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't that they were even going to ask him for a miracle. A lot of times they didn't even have to.
Yep.
Those people didn't tell the disciples, go tell Jesus we're hungry. But Jesus fed them and says he looked on them with compassion. The church should have an abundance of all the things that book says the people of God should have. We shouldn't have it in spurts. We shouldn't have it. Some have it and some don't. We shouldn't have it maybe on a really running and gunning Sunday service. No, it should be in abundance all the time. Things like what? With Lori's testimony about, you know, that is a character trait she has now. Yes, God helped her, but she is the one that acquired the character trait that says, oh, you know what? I've been knowing this coming all weekend. It's perfect. Come on a Monday. Send it on over.
Mm.
She didn't do that. She acquired the character trait to say, okay, let me stop before I take this call and pray. Because if I don't, Lori's going to answer this call the way Lori wants to. And the way everybody's going to tell Lori, I don't blame you. But Lori don't serve none of those other people. She serves God.
Right.
And Lori has worked, and her prayer used to be. That's why I reminded her when she gave the testimony. It wasn't that long ago where she was asking for prayer, and the prayer was, help me not to get ugly over ugly things or when people treat me ugly. And now today she's got a testimony where
that's
she
right.
knew somebody was going to get
Amen.
Ugly.
Right.
And Lori didn't get ugly.
That's right.
Now God helped her. But God helps those that helps themselves most of the time. And this is a time where that's true. And those are things the church should have in abundance, man.
Yeah.
We should be the nicest people. I remember when I'm getting off track. I remember when I God told me to go down and get a job at Olive Garden. It was 2013. I was like, Olive Garden? Man, I don't want a job at Olive Garden. And so God told me to go down there and put an application in. So I did. And I got a job, and they said, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't wait on tables, man. I don't want to be doing that. I don't think I'm smart enough to remember all the food and all the drinks. I don't want to do all that. I'll be a busboy. And they said, you want to be a busboy? I said, yeah, I'm smart enough to clear a table. Surely I can do that, right? And so I was a busboy. And as I got to know the servers and the other busboys and these single moms, that I got to meet, I'd never seen behind the curtain of single moms that go into a restaurant and their kids are in school and they don't have a husband. The biological father's not involved in the children's life. So the mom drops the children off at school and then goes to work at Olive Garden while her kids are in school. And that mom is praying that God would send somebody that would tip her good because she's got to quit after the lunch rush and go pick her kids up from school. And she's got supplies to buy that night, or she's got something she needs, sneakers she needs to buy for her kid because her kid wants to play in a basketball team. And these moms are talking about all these things, and so I'm just, you know, praying about them. I'm not telling them what I am or who I am. You shouldn't have to, right? And so it comes up to where it's going to be a Sunday. And they were griping about having to work Sunday. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Because I'm thinking they're all griping because they want to go to church. But hey, why they were griping? They were griping because they had to work on a Sunday. Because Sunday's the worst day for tips. Because that's when the church people come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing next to them while they're saying this. And I can feel the blood leave my face, man. I was stunned. I didn't know that. I never would have thought such a thing, man.
Yeah.
That we can go on Sunday morning and hear a really good motivational speech about how we ought to treat people good and then go to a restaurant and leave 50 cents for a single mother that's got two kids raised on her own.
Right. Yeah.
It's probably what they put in the offering in church, too. Just saying. But that boggled my mind, man. And church people were forever ruined as a witness in the eyes of these servers and busboys. And I was bamboozled by that. And I remembered years ago, a guy told, I read it somewhere, I don't know, chicken soup for, I don't know where I read this, right? But I read that, that you can tell a person's character by the way they treat someone that can have no reprisal to ill treatment. And what that means is that you can tell somebody's true character by the way they treat somebody that can't do anything back to them for them treating them bad.
Yeah.
And a server is a prime example, man. When people won't look a server in the eye or like this, you know, that just gives a peek into their character.
Sure.
The church should have a high standard of character in abundance, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know who the heck that was for. It was probably for me. The next verse that goes with tonight is Mark 16 and 17. Mark 16 and 17. And we ain't going to use this one like it's so often used. It's a very popular verse, especially among the holy rollers. Mark 16 and 17. It's one of my favorite ones, and not for the reasons that most other folks like it. Mark 16 and 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, I love this verse because the only qualifier is that you believe. It don't say these signs follow them that got it all right now in their walk with God.
Yeah.
It don't say these signs follow them that fasted for 3 days. It don't say these signs follow them that ain't ever lied about their tithe or not done it at all. It don't say these signs follow them that ain't messed up today.
Right.
It says these signs follow them that believe. That's every single one of us.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That means every one of us is eligible for these signs to follow us. Check them out. In my name, I like how it started with that. And since they got a semicolon after the first one, that means everyone after that starts with "in my name" too. It's just it's a grammatical rule. In my name shall they cast out devils. Yep, I believe that. Seen it, done it, watched it happen.
Amen.
And I'm convinced that devils have been cast out before without people even knowing it.
Yeah.
You know that I don't know, what was that movie where, I remember her name, Lindsay something. She played the possessed girl so bad it ruined her life. I can't remember. What was that movie?
Yeah, that was...
Not Poltergeist.
No.
Ah, I can't remember the name of the movie. She was possessed anyway. And it was an old one back when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
Linda Blair, ain't that her name?
Yeah.
And she was possessed, and she was the actress who played the possessed girl. And it's a fight! And the preacher's like, blah! And the devil's like, blah!
Yeah,
that ain't how it is!
That was the actresses.
Now, I've been in churches before. I was on a platform one time, won't mention no names. I was on a platform one time as a guest at a church that had like 7, 8 of their own preachers. You know how they got them preachers' rows and they all sit over there and everybody's, every one of them waiting to take up offerings and get their 5 minute preaching in for the month, right? And so, but this person comes down to the altar and they're down there, and so one of them comes down to pray for them, and that's cool, and we should, but then that person starts growling at them. And pretty soon, boy, I watched every one of these guys file off that platform, and a devil, this wasn't this person just acting out in their flesh, it was some kind of real life manifestation of demonic activity. It was real, right? And all 6 or 7 of these guys are down there, and one of them's got them like this, and the other one's on the side, and they're all in a group, and they're hooping and hollering and sweating, and it's in worship service, and it goes on for like 45 minutes. And the worship never ends. What in the worship? Because now we got a spectator sport. Everybody's watching this, right? And the preacher never got to preach, and the devil never got cast out, and the service got dismissed. And I'm standing up there, and what I'm knowing is, ain't a one of these guys fast regular, not a single one of them. Because if one of them preachers will sit on preacher's row twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday and will go to your hospital when the pastor's too busy and sends him to pray for you, good luck with that. Because if any of them fasted regular, there wouldn't be the zoo down there.
No power.
And I don't yell at nobody or nothing, man. What I will do is tell people, you shut up.
Yeah.
You can cast the devil out of somebody. You can't do nothing with their flesh. There's a difference between there's a demonic manifestation and somebody just showing out, right? But I knew all I had to know about that church right then. I knew the pastor didn't teach tithing, and if he did, he had a bunch of preachers that didn't do it, and they're all on the platform, and that's the leadership, and that's the level of the spiritual power that was in that church. It's not a fight. It's not a battle. Anything that goes past just a couple minutes with somebody with a demonic manifestation, I wasn't going to get into all this tonight, that has a demonic manifestation, anything that goes along for a little while, after about 10 or 15 minutes at the longest, you're dealing with somebody's flesh at that point. Because if they really want that demon out, the Jesus inside of us has it. Come on!
Right.
Yeah.
And we fast regular.
Yeah.
So if they want that demon gone, that devil's going to leave. And I don't ever ask the devil his name. I don't give a rip what his name. You know what your name is? Gone. That's what your name is. Out of here.
That's right.
Don't care what your name is. Right. All them guys do that big production. What's your name, devil? That's just trying to.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Your name is pumped out. That's what your name is.
My great.
The preachers that do that stuff, they've gone Hollywood. You understand?
Yeah.
They've gone Hollywood. When you have someone that has a demonic manifestation, if they want the devil gone, and I guess this is good for me to talk about because it's going to happen here. Yeah. The devil going to send somebody up in here. I guarantee it, sooner or later. Yeah. Good, come on in. Because what's going to happen is if they want delivered to that thing, they will be delivered to that thing, and we ain't going to have a NWA or Monday Night Raw or nothing like that.
Right.
It ain't going to work that way. And if they don't want to be delivered of it, after about 5 minutes, I'm going to know, and I'm going to talk to the person and tell them, look, man, if you want delivered from it, this thing's got to go, and I'm going to pray one more time. And if it don't go, then I'm going to know you don't want rid of it.
Yeah.
So you're either going to... You're going to have to be quiet and sit down so we can have church, or I'm going to ask you to leave.
Yeah.
I know, shocking, right? Where do you ever see that? You see it in God's church is where you see it. Because there's no devil that's alive that can do anything with a child of God that's covered by the blood, and that fast regular can't do nothing with us, man. So I don't wear myself out praying for somebody for that devil to leave. If it ain't gone in a couple of minutes, I'm going to know the person. Then I'll stop and I'll talk to him and be like, hey, you probably been to, I bet I know where you've been. You've been to that church of seven guys on a platform, ain't you? So you have no confidence this devil's got to go. I'm telling you, we're going to make this thing leave and it ain't going to take 5 minutes. It ain't.
Right, right.
So if you can just allow us to do this and you'll work with me and just relax, you're going to feel something leave you and it'll never torment you again. But then after a few minutes, if it ain't gone, then I know we got a person that doesn't want it gone. It's not that the devil doesn't want to leave. He don't have a vote.
Yep.
He doesn't have a choice. He can't leave. Or he can't stay. He's got to go. These signs follow them. They speak with tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. All right, look, I ain't drinking no bleach, and I ain't playing with no snakes.
No.
Somebody tries to poison me, God said I'll live. A snake bites me, God said I'll live. It's that easy.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't running out to the store, reptile store, buying some rattlesnakes,
nope.
Talking about how our faith is. That's stupidity is what that is.
Yes,
I ain't drinking no bleach. I mean, I like white teeth, but I ain't trying like that, right?
Yeah.
What this means is that if someone tries to take us out, God will protect us, plain and simple.
Yeah.
I will tell you, there are plenty of serpents that walk around on two legs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is I have a thought that I have to get out of my spirit, out of my mind, and that is, will the real church stand up? There used to be a game show a while ago, a long time ago, and the way the game would go was they would have three people all pretending to be the same thing, an airline pilot, a ship captain, or maybe a nurse practitioner. Contestants would take turns asking these three people questions, trying to determine which one was real. And it wasn't as easy as you might think, because even though two of the three were imposters, they would know just enough about whatever it was they were supposed to be to cause somebody who wasn't really educated about it to have a hard time telling the difference between the imposters and the real deal. The pretenders would look the part, talk the part, and they would pretend to be authentic and be so good at it that the uneducated contestants would struggle to tell the difference between the imposters who just knew the terminology And the one that was 100% authentic. The one who not only talked the talk, but walked the walk. Contestants would ask questions relating to whatever the three were professing to be, trying to differentiate between the imposters and the real McCoy. When each contestant was done asking their allotted number of questions, they would submit their guess as to who was the authentic one, and the host of the game would stand up and say, would the real airline pilot, or the real ship captain, or the real nurse practitioner, would the real please stand up? Everyone would wait with bated breath, still not confident of who was real and who was an imposter. The winner of the game would be the contestant that managed to see through the bluster and the professional sounding terminologies and discern which ones were imposters and which one was the real deal. And sometimes the imposters were so good at pretending to be something they were not, everybody lost. I'm going to make this real short and real sweet tonight and get right to the point. There's a world we live in today that is hurting, and they're on their way to a devil's hell without God. They're being beaten down on all sides, but they're waking up to the fact that evil is very real, the devil is very real, and that he has gotten his hooks into the public school system, our governmental bodies, and even Walt Disney. And since they've been awakened to the fact that the devil is real, they're now waking up to the fact that God must be real too. Yes. But the problem is, there are so many imposter churches, so many imposter versions of Christianity that have the right appearance on the surface and know just enough of the religious sounding terminology that the world can't tell the difference, and it's starting to cry out, will the real church please stand up? They're living in a society where school kids are taking guns to school and murdering people, and the only thing that's going to help them will be if the real church stands up. Amen. Homosexuality is being pushed as a healthy alternative lifestyle, even so far as some denominations are ignoring the word of God and ordaining them, but the world needs the real church to stand up. Amen. Bible stories are not allowed in public school, but gender changes and drag queen reading sessions without informing the parents are, and the world needs the real church to stand up. Amen. Little boys can't pretend to be cowboys and Indians in the schoolyard anymore because that's offensive, but they can pretend to be a girl and go into the girls' bathroom with real girls, and if you say anything against it, you are offensive. But be that as it may, the world needs the real church to have a spot and stand up. Thugs and gang-banging racists riot in the streets, burn down businesses, kill senior citizens, and those are labeled peaceful protests. While American patriots protesting an election are locked up for 3 solid years without a bond hearing and called insurrectionists, and our country today needs the real church to stand up. 12-year-olds pushing crack cocaine, 63 million babies murdered in the room. Suicide, the biggest killer of teenagers in our country today, which means the ones lucky enough to survive their mother's wombs are taking their own lives in record numbers before their lives have really even begun. And the only hope we've got is that the real church won't worry whether or not they're going to label us as haters. We're going to let our love for children outweigh our own personal safety, our own personal reputation. The children in our world today need the real church to stand up.
Amen. That's right.
I know it's harder to wipe out this generation of children and youth than he has any generation since that of Jesus and Moses.
Yeah.
Why? Well, I know one thing. Every time God was getting ready in the Bible to birth somebody into this world that was going to change this world for the good of all mankind and the kingdom of God, the devil tried everything he could do to make sure they were dead before they were born. When God brought Moses into this world to deliver his people, the devil used Pharaoh to kill all the babies of his generation. And if Moses had not have had parents that stood up and defied their government, he'd have never been born. I thank God tonight for parents who don't let the government tell them what to do with their children. Thank God for parents who don't let the government decide what's right and what's wrong. Thank God for parents who will raise their kids the way God wants them to raise them.
Amen. That's right. Praise God.
You want to know how evil and vile the devil is? He tried to use Herod to kill Jesus when he was just a baby. Yep. And when he realized he didn't get him, he killed all the babies in the city he thought Jesus was in. He murdered every baby 2 years and under he could get his hands on. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying we don't know who those children in that room back there are. Yeah. We don't know who our babies and our grandchildren are. But what we do know is that if the devil is trying so hard to destroy them, we got to do everything we can do to save them. And I don't care if they call me a hater. I don't care if they don't accept my version of right or wrong. I don't care if they don't like me accepting their version of a man or a woman. I don't care if they call us right-wing fundamentalists. I don't care if they call us old-fashioned. It's time for the real church to stand up and fight for children and not just our own. Children need the church to stand up.
That's right.
Because they're killing them.
Literally are.
Hear me. They're killing them.
Yes, they are.
And the ones that somehow survived the womb, there's words you never should have to say. Survive the womb. They're going to school in places where, because they didn't kill their body, they're twisting their minds. Mm-hmm. They're teaching them that there is no absolute right. There is no absolute wrong. There is no absolute truth. You, little Johnny, have your truth, and it is true for you. And I have to respect that for you. And I have my truth. And you can't say nothing against my truth, because to me it is true. And we are producing children today. No wonder. They're confused, and they're killing themselves in record numbers. What if you grew up believing and being indoctrinated with the idea that there was nothing true in your world? That your mom might be a man. And that if your daddy corrects you, he's toxic and that's bad. What would you have to look forward to?
No,
and what if they taught you that you might be a girl? And that if you come to the school nurse and tell them that they'll give you hormone pills, but they won't tell mommy and daddy, and you're just a little boy, so you believe them adults that your parents have entrusted you with, and you take those hormones, and after a couple years, you realize that you are not a woman, you are a man, but now you have ruined your body, and you are stuck forever somewhere in between.
Happens.
And we are in this condition because the church shut its mouth and went in the closet. Period. The history and the facts are there, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
But our world today has awakened to the fact that evil is real, and it's beginning to look around for some kind of hope.
Yes.
Some kind of help. Come on, man. You drive to a church you've never been to let a preacher you never met baptize you. You're looking for something.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Praise God. You're hungry.
All from Bible spam. It's the same Bible spam I send you every day. This lady, I met her daughter, preacher to City Refuge for a youth or something or another. And I preached about how I always wanted Rottweiler, and she took that serious. And she told me her mama breeds them, so that's how I got connected with her mama on Messenger. And so anyway, I was going through my list of people at Bible Spam, and I saw her name, and I thought, well, what the heck? All she can do is tell me to stop. Bleep!
Right, yeah.
I never did hear nothing from her until just last week when she told me. She sent back and said, I've been crying over that Acts chapter 2 for 3 days. I gotta be baptized. And I said, where do you live, ma'am? I'll come where you are and we'll baptize you.
That's all right.
They're looking for something real. They're looking for something absolute. Not mean, not hateful, but it's black or white, and there ain't no waffling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're going to come looking for God in record numbers. Hear me. I might be dead before it comes to full pass, but I don't think so. I do believe that I'm going to see it. Almost every bit of this happened in my lifetime, because some of it's starting already. And when they do, they're not going to settle for religion.
No.
Right.
Because whether you know it or not, that's why you get at public school now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You don't get education, you get religion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to settle for powerless pontificating. I'm proud of that word when I thought of it. That means they ain't going to put up a preacher that got a lot to say and it sounds pretty, but nothing ever happens. They're not going to settle for that. They're not going to settle for motivational speeches that never produce signs, wonders, or miracles. They're not going to settle for that.
Good.
You didn't.
Amen.
And you had some God background in your life. And you didn't settle. You could have. And the only ones you would have known was you and God. But you didn't. And now, it ain't just the people that have some God background that aren't settled anymore and are willing to look wherever they got to look to find it, even if they got to meet in a gallery to have it. It's the people in the world that never cared about church before, and they still don't. They don't care about church.
Nope.
They care about finding the opposite of what they're getting. The church has got to be able to at least offer them as much power in the light as what they're living in the dark.
Makes sense.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen on that.
When they come, they're going to have one question, and that's all. They ain't going to care. They ain't going to care. They might laugh, say, okay, this is going to be new. We ain't seen that before. We got us a chair pulpit. I kind of like that. And the dude took off his shirt. Yeah, because I'm hot. Never did come in with a tie. They're going to look around and see some things a little bit different. But that ain't gonna, they ain't going to care about none of that. All they're going to ask is, oh, what kind of programs do you have? You know who asked that? Religious people.
Absolutely.
You know what kind of program we have?
God.
Oh, we got a fasting program. I'll hook you up right away, my brother.
Yeah.
We got a tithing program.
Yeah.
We talk to our secretary. She'll get you started right away on that. And we got a worship program. And learn that banjo. We can get you involved in that program, my brother. Huh? Yeah, that's the kind of programs we got. See, I don't get caught up in all none of that. I learned something a long time ago that stuck with me all my life. That's why I'm not in a big hurry. Probably ain't never going to be no youth class. I don't know what we'll call it. I don't even know if there'll be something special just for them. You know why? Because when I go to other churches and preach revival, I don't ever try, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. When I preach, I don't ever say, I'm going to try to get the kids' attention. None. I'm going to reach for the teenagers. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in there and regurgitate this thing God dropped down in my spirit through fasting and prayer and get this thing up out of me. And God's going to be manifested in that sanctuary. And that kid back there sitting in the back seat with his arm folded, act like he's asleep. He ain't fooling me. He's spending more energy trying to act like he don't hear me than he would exert if he just got up and came down to the altar. And if I just do my job and create the atmosphere I'm supposed to, I'll see that roughneck come down to this altar.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
will.
If we worship and fast and pray like we should, we don't have to get all these special programs and come with brochures.
Right.
As God leads us in ways to help people, we will do it.
Yeah.
But we ain't going to pick something up just because, well, that's what church does.
Yeah.
Well, people ask me about programs, I tell them, just like I told you guys. I do. We got fasting programs, we got tithing programs, we got prayer programs. We'll hook you up. Which one do you want to be in? Because if you stick around here long, you're going to be in all three.
Yep.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to keep teaching this word. And sooner or later, God's going to go, whoop, come on. You know, you need to come on.
Stepping that water inside of us.
Yeah, that's it. I will dunk you sooner or later.
That's right.
I'm a stubborn old man, and I don't know how much time I got, but I'll use it. Now, tonight, we need to take a good look at the timeline. Man's timeline. The world's timeline that we're in. Listen to this. The recent timeline of events in our world, keeping in mind that even if something is initiated by the devil, God has always had a history of turning something the devil meant for evil into something that fulfills his purposes.
Yeah.
If the knucklehead devil had a really known who Jesus was, the devil would have got on a cross and kept him off of it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
The COVID catastrophe, the first thing God did to use that evil to fulfill his purposes was, for the first time in the history of mankind since Noah and the seven members of his family locked in the ark during their world-changing catastrophe, God brought the whole world to a screeching halt and locked 8 billion people in their homes at the same time. Why? Here's the first thing. There ain't a human being alive right now that will be able to stand in front of God when they die and tell him they never had time to seek him out. They won't be able to stand in front of God and tell him they didn't have time to search the scriptures. He gave the whole world time to find him.
Yeah.
The second thing he did to use that man-made evil to fulfill his purposes, he pulled back the curtains and revealed to parents and all Americans the perversion that had infiltrated the public school system and was indoctrinated their children with ideas that God calls abomination.
Yeah.
Because everybody was locked in their homes. Children all over our country were issued laptops and their teachers were live streamed right into the kitchen, right into mom's kitchen. And guess what? Because of COVID, dad's in the kitchen too. And what happened was the moms and dads were forced to hear what the teachers were teaching their children. And they heard teachers teaching their children all right, but they weren't teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic. As a matter of fact, they didn't hear much teaching at all.
Right.
What they heard instead was pure dictionary-defined indoctrination.
Yeah.
What they heard was not algebra. It was not science. What they heard was gender fluidity and terms like binary and pansexual. So look how God took this man-made catastrophe and used it for his purposes.
Amen.
First, He looks everybody, locks everybody in their home, gives him time to find him. Then he exposes the all-out demonic offense against our children. Why? Why did God do those two things? God gave us time to find him so that when he showed us the magnitude of the evil in our society, we would turn to him and fight against it. The revival at Asbury, it is the product of people who had their eyes open to the evil and now they're looking for God. Yeah. It's the beginning of the Great Awakening that many of us radical right-wing preachers outside the mainstream with no access to TBN have been prophesying for years. But it's important to recognize it for what it is. People did not flock to Asbury, hear this, because God was healing, delivering, or doing miracles. They did not flock there because God was seeking man. They flocked there because other people were seeking God. And that is an awesome thing. But where are we on God's timeline? First, God gave us time to find him. Second, God revealed the evil. Third, people are waking up to the fact that if there is evil, then there must be God. I'm telling you right now what's coming next. The people waking up and looking for Asbury's are going to want to find something to fight with. The people flocking to places just because other people are seeking God there are not going to be happy with that very long, because sooner or later they're going to realize that though this is fun and this is wholesome and I feel better and some good things happen, there was no dramatic, dynamic, undeniable, all-powerful response from the living God they were seeking. And when that happens, they're not going to be drawn to places anymore. Just because other people are seeking God there, they're going to start to search far and wide, looking for a place they know exists, the place that must exist, the place where God answers prayer right in front of your eyes, the place where God does deliver people, the place where God does heal people, the place where God does do miracles, the place where God responds to people, and he does it not just in word, but in power.
Right.
Power.
That's
and that's who we are.
Yes.
That's why we fast. That's why we pray. That's why we worship. That's why we search further in that book. Because we serve a God who is manifested and powerful and hears us and still does miracles and deliverances today.
Amen.
Not in word, but in power. I'm telling you tonight, the world is being driven to its knees. And when it gets there, it's going to be sick and tired of going to godless churches. It's going to be sick and tired of attending dead, dull, dry worship services where they never experience the power of God. And these people are going to stand up in the middle of those sanctuaries and say, where is the real church?
Yes.
Where is the real church? We need the real church to stand up. This world is going to come looking for the real church with a powerful God who's manifested and doing great things. But the only one most of them are going to find will have a God you just have to believe in. A God you just have to believe came to live inside. A God you just have to believe forgave them of their sins. And when they get tired of that, and they will, when they say thank you, but no thank you, and they keep looking until they walk in our doors, I'm telling you right now, they're going to find a God they can't not believe in. They're going to find a God here they will have no choice but believe lives in them, because this God still baptizes men, women, and children with the Holy Ghost and with fire! I'm talking about the fire of God! They're going to find find a church that'll teach them what the Bible says about being forgiven of their sins. They won't have to just believe it anymore, because they'll be able to point to the book and to the chapter and to the verse that says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they'll be able to point in that book and say, right there's how I was baptized, and right there's how I know I've been forgiven.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Now it's not the time for us to back up on anything. I'm telling you what I know, and what I know from experience. We, with all the things that we have seen, I don't know how many miracles you've received in prayer, some of them over the phone.
Can't come.
But we have just stepped on the edge of what God's church is. We're on the outer edge. I'm telling you what I've seen, what I've experienced for myself. If we keep walking to the center of this thing, there will be people that will walk by that door because they hear some crazy dude with jailhouse tattoos hollering at the top of his lungs, and they'll be drawn because they're mocking. But just like they mocked on the day of Pentecost and said, these fellas are drunk, the same ones mocking wound up talking in another language too, because the people stood up and they weren't mean, but they told them the truth. And those people, when they heard the truth, they knew it when they heard it. There wasn't no gray, it was black and it was white, and there wasn't no getting away from it, and they responded. And if we keep stepping toward the center of this thing, if we'll stay in unity as a group of people, if we will stay faithful in our fasting and in our prayer, and if we will learn somehow to break through that glass ceiling we've got in our worship. Don't get me wrong, it ain't that we don't worship. We worship like real good Methodists. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Some folks are quiet, but in our church, we got one of those. You ain't a wallflower, and I don't care what you say, you ain't introverted. Yeah. You ain't a wallflower, you ain't, and you ain't.
Definitely ain't.
So then, we ain't quite stepped into our personality and our worship yet, because all y'all worship like wallflowers. Now, I'm not being mean, but I mean, I don't know what somebody else would worship like that had just one of your testimonies. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they never stand up. Some of y'all ain't ever seen Benjamin stand up from your chair and worship. Not one single time. What would you do if the president walked in? You can say you wouldn't do nothing. You're lying. What would you do if your favorite gospel singer walked in? You'd do something. There's somebody that would move you to respond that is a human. You know who it is. I don't care if it's a janitor. There's somebody you esteem high enough that you would show respect. It's a matter of respect when somebody that deserves it, that you rise from your seat. There was a day when a woman would be sitting at a table and we'd all be out to eating. And Travis, Jimmy, you know this. There was a day on our daddy's day where if a woman got up to go to the bathroom, I know why they stopped. They went 9 times a meal. But when a woman gets up, guess what all the fellas did? You know what they did, Jim? What did they do? They stood up out of honor for a woman. And we don't stand up worshiping God. Now, I'm not being mean, but I am pastoring.
Amen.
That's what I'm doing right now. Because I'm telling you, remember what I said, we're on the outer edge. You know why we're on the outer edge? Because we need some real work in our worship.
Yeah.
I ain't saying you gotta run laps, but my God, is somebody in a hospital had something happen to them like happened to some of us already? They wouldn't sit in the bed. They wouldn't sit in the chair. They at least stand up. They do something. But if I'm worshiping and I look like I do when I'm sitting at home at my kitchen table, there's somebody in my life, a human, that I show more honor than that to.
Yeah.
But we come together every Sunday morning, and usually there's 2, maybe 3 of us that stand up ever. Now, why am I talking about this? I know, everybody's with me there 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's been a long 5 minutes, ain't it? I'm talking like this because we're on that outer edge, and I know how to get to the center.
Yep.
But we're not going to get there if our worship stays where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you can stay saved like you are. You hear me? But the real church is not for the saved first.
Right.
Yeah.
The saved are going to get fed. The saved are going to get encouraged. The saved are going to grow stronger in their faith, yeah, and in their scripture and in their prayer and in their fasting and, yeah, in their worship.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when we make a decision that we don't do what we do anymore just for us. You say, well, where are they at? Well, maybe they're waiting on us.
Yeah.
Maybe the reason there's... I do it when I'm somewhere else. I'm not doing it alone. Maybe the reason there's as many of us on the outer edges that I know by face and voice that have made the commitment, they're coming, and I really do sincerely believe them, and they are coming, but maybe the reason that things keep getting in their way is not the devil. Maybe God isn't letting them come yet because we're not ready for them yet.
Yeah.
And it's not that we won't love them right now. I don't know a group of people that love people more than we do. Every one of us would help anybody. Every one of us. I've never seen 100% of a church family, even smaller than ours, where everybody was that way. Every single one of you are that way, man. I've seen it with my own eyes when nobody else was around. So that ain't it. So then what is it? We don't produce the environment that can take their chains off.
Truth. That's true.
Not on the outer edge. But if we can take a step toward the center, if I make up my, well, fine. I guess I'll stand up a whole hour then. Well, good, I do every Sunday. I'll just be standing there clapping. That's okay. I've seen Hell's Angels start out like that. They ain't lying. I seen them start out just clapping, and they were making fun. And before it was over with, they wasn't making no fun no more, and they were still clapping.
That's right.
With tears running down their face, with their cutoff on, with their patch on. I have witnessed this stuff. You know why? Because there was a small core of people that were nuts.
Yeah.
It's true. Nuts. Because we got around them guys, and we knew they could just soon kill us as let us go home.
Yeah.
But we also knew the best odds we had of them letting us go home was if somehow we ushered the one in here that we were saying we were going to bring. And if I told the Hell's Angel I'm bringing God with me and I show up and... But when you're a little off, and you remember what the word says, two or three, gather in my name, I'm there in the midst. He wasn't talking about being invisible in the midst either. He was saying if we would come together and just do what we know we should do, man, every one of you has got a reason to, I go open the door and let you take turns and run a lap around the whole top level of this building, every single one of you. And if you don't remember all the reasons why you have a right to do that, I would be happy to remind you. We are not going to be a sedentary church because God don't have one. So I don't care if I got the 1960 overhead projector and you can't say all the words.
Yeah.
By God, you can clap.
Yeah.
And you ain't clapping for me. I don't care if you clap or not. I'm going to do it anyhow. You done seen that.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm going to do it anyhow. But you're clapping for him. When we sing the 1853 song, He Set Me Free, that's because he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
But maybe the chains have been off you so long, you don't remember what their weight feels like anymore. Maybe you've gotten so used to be free, that's just a song now. I don't know, I'm just guessing. And I'm not being mean, I'm pastor. Because God is going to send people. But we got to have the environment.
Yeah.
We got to have it. I'm not talking about nothing for us. You know what will shock you? This will shock you to death. If you just do the first part, like if you sit every service, if you just get up once, first of all, your legs are going to be shocked. They're going to want to do with blood running through them.
Yeah.
I'm healed. No, that's just blood flowing. It happened in church. It's what they get everywhere I go. It is. I'm a lot meaner because I can leave them behind. I got to live with y'all. But if you'll just do something new, if you can do something where you can say, I was participating and there's some visible proof, I'm glad you can go home and say, I was worshiping here. Well, good. Bless your itty bitty, little bitty, teeny tiny
part.
But I know y'all better than that. Every one of you. Every one of you. We've had louder conversations after church than any of our worship services ever been, trying to figure out who's going to bring what to the potluck. That ain't supposed to be. It ain't supposed to be. Believe it or not, that was nowhere in the notes. I guess every now and then a pastor's got a pastor. If you never stand up this Sunday, if you stand up and worship and don't even clap, don't try to do too much at once. Take it easy. I don't want to push you. But if you never stand up and you stand up, just stand there. That's okay. Because if you can sit there, it must be hard to stand there. But if you do that and that's new, watch the environment change. Look, call me on this. Fact check your preacher. I want you to. Because if you worship the way I know you want to, see, that's the next thing. I know you want to. But you just don't know how to break out. I mean, you ready for this? It's deep. You know how you break out? You break out. You ain't going to find it in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. You'll find it in doing something different in worship. Stand up, raise your hands, close your eyes, get up and walk back and forth. I don't give a rip, just don't run me over. I'm good. But if each one of us will actively participate in that worship, here's what will happen. Now look, if we're on the outer edge and you've had miracles and you've had miracles, you're supposed to have been dead, not hearing a dead preacher. You're supposed to have been dead. And if every one of us has seen God, if we stood next to the baptism with your daughter coming out of the water and your grandson standing next to it after 2 years, and that's the outer edge, and happy is all up in that Bible, and that's the outer edge, and you've come so far, Spud, and that's the outer edge, don't you want to find out what's up in the middle of this thing?
Yes.
And the only way we're going to get there is if we go together. I can't pull you. I can try to push you. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I love you enough, and I love the lost enough, and I love the family members you've been praying for enough to take the chance that I make you mad. And I don't want to do that, because every one of you is not just the people I go to church with. You're my friends, man. And I count every one of you as family. So I don't like the thought of you being angry with me. But guess what? If it helps you in God, you can get happy in the same britches you get mad in.
That's it.
Because once you get over being mad and all that stuff starts to happen in the middle of God, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be like, man, dude, I didn't even, you know I ignored you 5 services in a row. I made sure I didn't talk to you after church. But you know what? Thanks. Because now we're in the center and all this is starting to happen. That's the real church. The real church. I'm going to ask this last question about worship, and then I'm done. I got to. I'm going to ask you this last one, and you're the one's got to answer for yourself. Do you worship at the level of what God has done for you? You know the answer. I don't. If you can look back, if you can look down into any, just pick one. I don't care. Pick the most hot. Pick the one you stood up. I don't know. Pick any one of them. And look down and just ask yourself honestly, does that reflect that? But if it does, keep on. If it don't, come into church this Sunday with the idea that my worship is going to reflect the one I worship. It's going to reflect what he's done for me. You see? That's what worship reflects.
Yep.
I don't care if somebody thinks I'm stupid. You ain't seen me bust out yet, so I'm going too. Because ain't none of you been delivered from all the things I have. So I'm not going to scold you tonight and then come in Sunday and just watch. That ain't going to happen. Come in Sunday with your mind made up. Your worship is going to reflect what's been done for you. Yeah. Your worship is going to reflect who you worship. That's who it's supposed to reflect.
Yeah.
That's why you would not stand up for your president. Because that reflects your opinion of him.
Yeah.
So our worship reflects our opinion of the one we worship. There's no getting out of that. So I'm going to do my best for me to make sure from this point forward, my worship reflects the one I worship. So get ready to see Goofy. You will not be self-conscious when I get done. I promise you. It might surprise you to know that not only is the world asking these questions, but God. Wow, that's what he just did, isn't it? It might surprise you to know that God is not only going to ask us the same question, he's asking it right now. To put it straight and blunt, he's demanding that the real church stand up. He's gone through a lot of trouble to cause all mankind to turn their attention to him. Just 2 years ago, for the first time, since 8 people were locked in the ark, God shut the whole world down, forced 8 billion people to look for him. Since then, he's caused the economies of the entire world to be inflated to the point where you get one-third of what you used to get just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my 57 years as an American citizen, some grocery stores have empty shelves. And God has done all this to cause mankind to lose trust in the things of the world they've always turned to. He's done all this to drive mankind to its knees so it will look for God. And when it does, it's going to ask all the right questions. They're going to wait with held breath to see if they picked the right one, if they got the real McCoy, or if they were fooled by an imposter. Bridge Church, the world is going to come through the doors and ask us, and our God is already demanding of us, will the real church stand up?
Yes.
My heart breaks for the hurting part of the world that looks for God and winds up on the doorstep of an assembly of people that tells them all they got to do is pray a little prayer and then just believe everything's going to be all right. That's not God. God can manifest himself. All I can do is hurt over that because there ain't no God going to help somebody that they can't even feel when he shows up.
Yeah.
It's time for the real church to stand up, not be ashamed about believing you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's in the book. Not be mean about it, but not be ashamed of it. It's in the book. It's time for the church to stand up. Don't be embarrassed because we have enough sense and enough Bible to believe that Almighty God comes to live in my little bitty soul. I'm going to know when he gets there. Now, am I being mean tonight? Am I making fun of man-made religion? No, I'm not. Does the Bible say in Acts 4:12, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? Yes. Did Jesus say in John 3, you must be born of the water and the Spirit? Yes. God is calling the church of the Bible to a place of accountability with what we do with the message we have received. God is demanding and the world is begging, will the real church please stand up.
Amen.
Can you imagine what will happen when we do? I'll tell you what will happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. In Acts 4:13, when the lame man was healed, the Bible says when the established church of the day saw the boldness of Peter and John, and when they saw the man that was healed, when they saw the evidence of the power in their doctrine, the Bible says they took knowledge of them. Guess what? That they had been with Jesus, and beholding the power of God, they could say nothing against him. When we get bold enough to pray for kidneys that are 98% failed and ask God to make them new, and He does.
Yeah.
When we get bold enough to pray for our pastors' PSA numbers that are in cancer territory to return back to normal, and they do, Lori, the world will know we have been with Jesus. And when they see the power of God in our services, they won't be able to say anything against it.
Yeah.
This is what time it is. It's not only time for the real church to stand up and tell it. It's time for the church to stand up and show it.
Mm-hmm.
All I see when I don't act like this thing is real is a teenage mother who's been thrown out of her parents' house, whose boyfriend promised her she was his one true love, and he's long gone now, trying to convince some other girl of the same thing and blaming everything on the young lady he just got pregnant. All I can see is this girl in need of a miracle, yeah, with nowhere to turn, standing on the doorstep of some church somewhere, needing God and wondering if she's found him. And all I can hear in the spirit is her heart crying out, will the real church please stand up in my life?
Yeah.
It's time for the Bridge Church in Kingsport to settle it once and for all that the only thing that's going to help our city, our families, our country, our world is the power, not just the word, but the power of this gospel.
Yep.
And the world is crying and God is demanding to know, will the real church please stand up? And I'm going to close with this. The world does not need another denomination.
Nope.
Doesn't need another theological essay. Doesn't need another program. Doesn't need another watered-down doctrine offering a non-healing, non-delivering, non-miraculizing, powerless God. The world needs a place it can go and be healed. A place where that can happen in worship service without them even telling anybody they need to heal. And I know this can happen because I have seen it happen. I was in a worship service one time in Fall Branch, and we were just having our normal worship service, and there was a man and his wife who had stopped in, and we had met them once or twice, and they were in the worship service, and it's getting toward the end, and there's a peace in the sanctuary, and all of a sudden this man cries out, hey, and everybody jumps, and we all look at him, and goes, I can see out of my left eye, and I'm thinking, whoa, so can I mean, what the heck? Nobody was standing there, nobody prayed for him, and everybody's looking at him like, and he goes, you don't understand, I haven't been able to see out of my left eye since I was 8 years old. He didn't tell nobody. He didn't ask for prayer. He didn't ask God to heal him. You know what he did? He entered into an atmosphere that a group of crazy people had created because they worshiped God as a reflection of who God was, not the mood they were in that day, not the condition of their life in that day, but they worshiped God as a reflection of who He always is. And when they did, it created an atmosphere where God said, oh, I think I'll just be this, and I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'm gonna go over here and do this.
Right. Yeah.
And that is what is available to every single one of us as a group. Let me ask you to stand with me.